Hi, folks. Welcome to Follow the Leader, a podcast focused on telling character-driven stories through the use of GM-less tabletop games where we can all take the lead. You can find us on Tumblr at FTLcast and at FTLcast.com. We also have a Patreon at patreon.com/FTLcast. Today we're playing If Not Us, Then Who? By Riley Hopkins. For those of you who are new to this game, here are the basics. There is no tale more compelling than a group of kids from disparate backgrounds coming together to confront a threat against overwhelming odds. Once you mix that with spandex, helmets, and giant robots, what more does a story need? We're at our best when we fight together, and when we collectively gather to fight against a villainous force that threatens everyone. We also have giant robots in matching suits, and that shreds. I'm August, and you can find me on Blue Sky at Harpy Dora or Strange Harpy on Tumblr, and my pronouns are they, them. Playing with me today, we have Corey.
Hey, folks, I'm Corey. You can find me on co-host at Missy Nim, and my pronouns are he, him.
We also have Jade.
Hi, I'm Jade. You can find me pretty much everywhere on the internet at Jade Oxford Rose, and I use they, them pronouns.
And bringing up the anchor position, we have Zach.
Hello, my name is Zachary Fredrickson. You can find me on Twitter at Obfuscating God, on Blue Sky at, I believe, Zachary Olson Presents, and you can find the music I make for the show at iambugbear.bandcamp.com. Oh, no, I'm just Zachary Olson on Blue Sky. Look at that.
Our lines, which are things we absolutely do not want to see, are homophobia and transphobia, racism, sexism, anti-Semitism, violence against animals, sexual assault, domestic violence or intimate partner violence, unwanted pregnancy, and plagues and pandemics. Our veils, which are things we're fine with addressing but will just fade to black on, are steamy situations, graphic descriptions of bodily harm, and terminal illness. Content warnings for this game include fantasy violence against young people with superpowers and probably some child endangerment. Now that we've got all that, let's get started.
Heck yeah. Ooh, we have got a fun group of people today.
We sure do.
Let it be known, rolling for character generation always leads to some real interesting places.
Yes.
Yes, it does, yeah. And there's some nice tables for this, too. There's ones for, because this is like a Sentai thing, right? So you got to figure out your color.
Yes.
But also, like, who are you and like your weapons and what's your theme and other stuff like that. So it's been a field day for the dice, I think.
I do appreciate that there is a breakdown of traits that you can choose based on your color, because as is so often with these Sentai shows, you tend to see similar personality traits associated with specific colors, but you don't have to do that. You can just go ham.
Yeah.
We did go ham, I think.
We went ham with the dice tables, and we created our Sentai team. I think it would be great to introduce our characters, starting with Zach and working our way up in the document, if that's all right.
Sure. I am your captain. Johnny Kidd. I am the Blue Ranger. Did we say? I don't think we've said that our gimmick theme that we rolled was pirates, which is why I am Johnny Kidd. I'm Captain Kidd. I didn't write a description, so I was gonna wait for everyone else to describe their characters before I figured out what mine was.
Oh, sorry. We can come back to that if you like, and just do the weapon slash ability and the traits, and then we can come back to your description.
Yeah. So So for ability, is that like, I'm looking mostly at just like the kind of weapon you've got, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just some of them are like inner ability. Like, so.
Well, I got agile weapon. So I am just going to say that that is the cutlass and the brace of pistols, which is a classic kind of pirate thing. But they're probably going to be like
laser pistols.
Yeah.
Is it also, in fact, a laser sword?
It could very well be a laser sword.
I have just, like a thought has just occurred to me, and I need to state it on the record. If we are happening to be space pirates as our theme, you know what fearsome captain of space we have established in the wider FTL universe, right?
Oh, wait, are you saying like Rascal?
Yes. Yes,
oh my
I
gosh.
Am.
Rascal is, the Mighty.
Is Rascal our mentor?
Fuck. Be our mentor.
This explains so much about why two members of this team have the trait that they do. I'm just yes. saying. Like a weird intern program.
Oh no.
So is this the same world, same universe as
the below? It could be. It's just a different part of it.
As the below, just a different part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that
idea. Because the below,
because
Rascal was the scourge of the galactic hegemony. Mm-hmm. And so if we're like on a a space station, like a Dyson sphere or a kind of cylinder.
Or like the moon in Treasure Planet.
Yeah. Wherever we are, it should have a beach.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, we could be like, yeah, in another little corner. Rascal could be our mentor, but it could be fun for it to be like a, like it's still him, but not him personally present because he's got, he's off.
Oh, yeah,
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 yeah. Yeah,
but he could be, have like a shard, like an AI. Like a brain scan of him.
Oh, oh
that's
God.
Like a, yes. like a hologram.
Fuck.
Yes.
Yes. Incredible.
Lolo Rascal. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, and that's, he's like our Zordon. Mm-hmm. He's
very far away. He's in a very different part of the galaxy.
But we have a personality engram of Rascal the Mighty, Scourge of the Hegemony, and that is the shipboard AI.
Fuck.
Of our, like, home, like our home base.
Yes.
Has there been drift between the brain scan and the real thing?
Probably.
That I think this is why it's like he's even more cartoonish, isn't it? It's like flanderization.
Yeah, like, a little bit.
This could be like a ship from his armada that crashed on our little space station or wherever it is we live. Mm-hmm. And just like a little distress beacon went out. We found it. And sort of, it's gone from there, just like, yes, upstanding young people who can carry on my great work of the galaxy.
Yeah, just like, yes. Straight up, right? Like, imagine you're in school and some big pirate crashes to the ceiling. Hey, kids, did you know you can do crime?
Yes. Let unfurl your sails and point your stern to freedom! Not your stern, your the front.
I am loving this 2023 Power Rangers meets SpongeBob SquarePants opening up right now.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready, kids? Yes, this is so good.
Hell yeah!
Oh, yeah. No. So, what are your traits?
So my traits are the ones I rolled were beauty and noble. Which is very funny because I wasn't intending to be the leader. Beauty is someone who is extremely concerned with appearances and how well they are regarded by others. Noble represents bravery, courage, and the general it factor. And then, of course, leader takes charge, makes the hard decisions, and is looked to for guidance. So the combination of being the leader and the noble and also the beauty is, I think, a pretty... It's part of why we probably go so hard aesthetically is that it's like, well, what do you think the Jolly Roger's for? we've got to strike fear in our opponents. We have to like inflame the hearts of the people. And
Johnny Kidd is a theater person, is what I'm getting.
I'm very theatrical. I'm like, so it's kind of like me. It's like, I make speeches, right? Mm-hmm. I monologue.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time it works because we are the heroes. But I do like, it's like, you know, I've got this big flair for like, when we do our stuff, it's got to be big.
Love it.
Johnny Kidd gets the call and immediately takes it to the tailor. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
All right. So my character is the Red Ranger. Their name is Cherry Bomb Bonnie. Yeah, traits that I rolled for them are comedy. They are the one who tries to make everyone else happy. Cute, someone who is immature and childish but beloved by the team. And heart represents the love that this character has for their team, the love they receive back, and a high emotional intelligence. I rolled and got shooting weapon, and what this looks like is a little bit like a rocket launcher, but it has like a big cylinder, or it looks like the barrel of like a six shooter that spins around the outside of the launcher as they choose what they're going to be using, and it can fire like grappling hooks, harpoons, nets, explosives, cutlery, whatever. Can pick it up, put it in, boom. This person, by virtue of who I am and the fact that I landed on the name Cherry Bomb, does like explosives, but in a playful way, not in a trying to hurt people way. It's just fun to make things go boom.
Hell yeah.
Nodding my head. That's such a mood.
The description I've got for them, tan freckled skin, an easy smile and big eyes that don't miss a thing. Short and stocky, wear a lot of graphic tees paired with shorts and oversized cardigans or flannel shirts, what have you. Messy brown hair, usually covered by a beanie or a bandana. Always has stupid amounts of accessories like glasses, bangles, earrings, charge keys hanging off their waistband. There's always something with a cherry on it or cherry shaped hanging off their person somewhere. Because I think this has got to be a point of contention between them and John and Claudia. You have to lean into the aesthetic, hoping that Cherry would maybe like make more of an effort with the outfit. No, they continue to show up in cut-off shorts and graphic t-shirts, but so many matching accessories.
Mm.
Just like, I'm leaning in. It's a theme. It's aesthetics. So many Cherry.
Hell yeah.
Love it.
But that's them.
Nice. Alrighty. I have Ronnie Golden Applejack. Got it. This mismatch of a name. I look at it every time and it just makes me amused. This is the Orange Ranger. He's got he and pronouns. The traits that I rolled from bottom to top were comedy, which has already been mentioned. I've got tough, a hero with strong fighting skills that are paramount above all else. And evil. Which can mean some things. It can be that he works for the bad guy. It can also just mean that he's selfish. You know, in this case, I took it to be someone that generally respects, like, strength above all. So, kind of feeding into the other traits. The weapon that I've provided Ronnie in this case is... it's funny that Cherry Bomb has a launcher because I provided Ronnie with an oversized cannon. I'm imagining that he just tore a cannon off of a ship somewhere, and that's what he uses, just like a big laser cannon situation.
Hell yes.
Like, barely together, there's still wires sticking out of it, and also it's big and you can whack someone with it if you're really, you know, kind of desperate. The description that I set out for him is he's this big guy, super beefy, like, probably shaped a little bit like a cannonball himself. I get Puck for some reason. the old Canadian hero. It's stuck in my brain.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, right? Eternally inflicted with a cross between a smirk and a sneer, he tries his hardest to be hot shit and maybe succeeds. He's got jet black hair with a streak of white in it, a golden studded leather jacket on top, and just a simple white tank top below that. Riding leathers and jeans, golden studded fingerless gloves, and big tough leather boots with spikes. That's all hiding the fact that he gets around on pretty much the equivalent of a Vespa. He's also got one shining gold tooth, and his leather jacket just has a massive orange patched onto the back of it, because he is the villain of subtlety.
Hell yeah.
You cannot get this man to do fashion.
This man is delightful. I love him. So my character that I rolled up is named Calico. Don't call me Callie. Higgs. Pronouns she, her. And the color I rolled was quantum, which is very fun. Love a concept for a color. The traits that I rolled are loner. Loners are aloof and tend to operate separately from the team. They claim to, quote, not need others, which works perfectly because I'm like the odd color out. I also rolled heart, and that combined with the loner is very interesting, especially with the indication that she's supposed to have high emotional intelligence. And I also rolled evil, and I wanted to discuss with y'all about that, because being the odd colored ranger out, I was kind of wondering if we wanted to do kind of like a Green Ranger situation where I'm initially working for the hegemony and get recruited into the posse, as it were.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this. This could be like we recruit Ronnie, like, in the first or second episode, and then your character doesn't like join the cast until like halfway through the season, after being the villain for the first half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Sentai series breakdown.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's not like exactly Piccolo and then Vegeta, but it's kind of like Piccolo and then Vegeta.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Dang.
The description I have is she's a lanky, pale young woman with chin-length pink hair, septum piercing, and a denim jacket with a bunch of band patches on it. I don't have a very clear idea of like what her transformed suit looks like, other than the color being like black with iridescent shimmering colors like an oil slick. And her weapon, I rolled a blade weapon, so since she's the Quantum Ranger, she wields the time knife. What does that mean? I don't know.
Yes, the time knife. We've all seen it.
We've all seen the time knife. Yeah. Look, Scruff McGruff takes a bite out of crime. You just happen to take a bite out of time.
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what happens. So, that is Calico.
Hell yeah. I will say, Johnny, Captain, I've come back and made a description. She's got a shock of bright red hair, probably like anime, like spiky hair.
Yeah.
Very shonen. He's got a skull bandana that he wears around his neck until he pulls it up as part of his transformation. He has striped black and white pants that are like very tight, like skinny jeans, basically. Very cool, like motorcycle boots. And he has a studded vest that's got slogans and patches on it. As opposed to band patches, they're like, you know, political slogans and stuff. And that transforms into a full like pirate coat when he goes ranger mode.
Nice.
Ooh, I can see it now. When it gets to like the torso, when you know it's shining, it's sort of like you see the coat unfurl from behind.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is.
In the name of transparency, when I came up with what Cherry's look is, like how they dress, this I am intentionally channeling big like Bosun Smee. Like, it's that kind of short t-shirt and crop trousers kind of a vibe. This is somebody who is comfortable. So that's perfect. They are the bosun to your captain.
Nice.
Hello. All right.
We got to talk more about this space pirate crew of ska punk kids. We got to establish something here.
Well, we are youngsters, teens and young adults who live out here on an O'Neill cylinder called Wavebreak Station. Which is maybe it is home to the largest saltwater fishery in this sector of the galaxy. It's like, oh, they've got an ocean, but the ocean is not for people to surf and enjoy. The ocean is just for them to farm tuna.
Capitalism. Gotcha.
Yeah. But, they do have the beach. Though the beach is just a very small part of the ocean that is on this space station, this O'Neill cylinder. What I was thinking of.
I love that.
I can vibe with that.
The thought just occurred to me, given the description of Ronnie and also us being a group of teenagers with attitudes, I just love the notion that Ronnie is 17. And has just looked like this for a long, big Kearney in The Simpsons energy. Just how old are you?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Just hit puberty hard, shot up, got the fascia, and they're just well, I'm leaning in.
Yeah, I have the image that at some point early on he got tall, and then in the past couple of years he just went wide.
I'm sharing a couple of images of O'Neill cylinders for anyone who's not familiar with the concept. It's basically just a big tube made up of different segments. It alternates between a land segment where it's you basically fill that with soil and water and stuff, and basically create a miles wide strip of basically just earth. And then that's broken up by windows, which are both solar solar panels and stuff, and also just give you a glimpse at space outside. So could be that we can look up and there's an ocean above us.
Damn, that's sick as hell.
Yeah. It could even be that there's one, if there's three land segments and three windows, then there could be one segment that is entirely ocean, one that is half ocean and half land, and one that is entirely land, as some sort of, I don't know what the purpose of that would be, but it sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Rule of cool. Definitely.
I also get the image of, if you're fighting in the tube. Oh, yeah, kind of that. And then also, any combats.
Well, I'm just going to say Cherry has one of those. A solar surfer for my fellow Treasure Planet aficionados.
Oh, sure.
Nice. Very good.
I have, Johnny has, rather than, a board, Johnny has rocket boots that work a lot inline skates.
Yes. This is my instead of a longboard, because we're beach bum pirate skate kids. So
yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. Space moped. Let's go.
Yes.
Look, I just wanted to have the image of a big guy firing a cannon off of space moped. That's really it. There's nothing deeper there.
Nor should there be. Frankly.
Remember, the motto of FTL is be on your bullshit, so
absolutely on it, pointing to myself.
Good, then you are succeeding.
Let's go.
So we've established our mentor up top, we've established our theme, we've got some details about the world, you know who we are. Is this where we start? Do we need to generate anything else?
Like a villain, I think?
The villain. Although, we're kind of positioning it as being the hegemony. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm having such trouble saying that word.
So there's like, there would be like a local, like this, like station warden or station, like the game warden.
Yeah.
Who's trying to keep us out of this, you know, this pristine sea.
What's that department of birds and fish or whatever it is in the States?
Fish and the Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah, yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, they're trying to stop us from surfing.
Let's see. What's a good name for this warden? Something pompous for sure.
Bixby is the last name that came into mind.
Heathrow Bixby.
Fuck yes. I can dig it. Please drag my nearest airport. Okay.
And they can have like a navy like aesthetic.
Okay, if we're gonna lean into this though, I do need like their underling to be like Stansted Mickles.
Yeah, is that another airport?
It is another airport, yeah.
Incredible.
Look, there's a third I can lean in. There's also Gatwick, which is the other big London.
Gatwick
airport.
Is a very good name, yeah.
That is. Yeah, we could draw on like the Marines from One Piece aesthetically. This is part of the Gemini's Navy's what's it called? Like the branch that handles like resources, like logistics and like raw resources.
I just googled One Piece Marines, and these are some very buff men in some very small sailor suits.
I'm a salsa witnesses. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, those guys. Yeah, those are like just standard like marine. Just Marines. They start getting very wild as they increase in rank.
I'm seeing like big suits. Yeah,
incredible.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have the forces of capitalism/evil/capitalism, and their minions at force in what was the name that you came up with for the.
Wavebreak.
Fantastic. Big Angel Grove energy. Love this.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. So I think, let's see. So I think we're about ready to start playing. So we take a deck of cards, remove three of the kings, and then shuffle the deck. We choose who goes first, and I think it's funny that if no one volunteers, then the last person who watched TV goes first, which rules out me because I don't watch TV, I watch YouTube. So.
I also don't really watch TV.
So somebody has to volunteer.
Well, Jade, did you see a TV in the last hour?
No, not in the last hour.
Okay. Yeah, I walked by. My parents watch TV, so I did happen to watch a little bit of Comedy Island with them. Still not sure what that show was about, but I should probably look into it a little more.
All right, so the player who goes first draws a card. That is the premise of the episode. And okay. The person who drew the card does the cold open for the episode and then passes the card to their left. Going around clockwise, each player hits the individual beats of the episode, and each episode has six major beats, and after the conclusion, the episode ends. We'll get to what happens after the episode when we get there.
Wow.
Yeah. So
this is quite a card to draw right up at the very front.
What'd you get?
Ooh, what is it?
I have just drawn... Nine of Hearts.
So, oh boy.
The list of episodes that we have here go anywhere from like the A plot all the way down to like a final showdown based on the number of the card. The suit's not really important. The interesting and funny one that I've landed on here is we haven't really gotten into the meat of who everyone is and how they're together. But I do have the number 9 here, which is completely unpowered. So the premise here is that everyone's powers just stop working, which is really funny because we like don't really have the background on this yet. So we're just starting off just like average. We're just normal people right now, I think.
Interesting. So, is this the first episode of the TV show?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so this is like this is our origin story.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to, from what I'm reading, not to say
yeah, that it doesn't have to be like in completely in order with it either.
Yeah, this doesn't have to be the very first episode of the TV show. This could just be our listeners have just been flip channel surfing and have just shown up on a random episode of the TV show that is these kids.
It's the timing is just so good, though.
Just like, oh, well, if you want to check out this show, you could go from the beginning, or if you really want a treat, you want to drop in on episode 9, everyone's powers go away.
Yeah, we get the strong, like, you're not relying on your gimmicks, this is just who you are down to your fists, baby. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I think that's the vibe. So, here's the sitch. We're all gathered up at the scene of our latest conquest, right? Everyone surrounding the trove of goods that we've just gotten from our hunt out among the open seas of Wavebreak. Well, I say seas, skies, kind of general vicinity. We reach for the chest, or the goods therein, that we've just gathered forward, and this massive flash of light just bursts forward from it. And at first it seems, oh, that's just a bit of spectacle, until everyone starts looking around each other, and all the armor, the weapons, it starts powering down, stripping away, until we're left in just our normal person gear. Then that trove of goods, what it does is it shuts up, and it turns out, one, it's just taken the weapons, and two, it starts rocketing off to parts unknown. No idea where it's going, no idea what's happened. The one thing that I do know, or that we can figure out as a result of this, we just got robbed, and that was a trap.
Tight.
Oh my.
Now, stranded in the midst of our, not secret base, but where this went down, we gotta figure out, one, how to get out of the situation, and two, maybe how to get our stuff back, if that's in the cards for us today.
Okay, so all right. We've obviously jumped a lot of steps into this is like mid season. So they didn't really explain in the season how they're able to steal our stuff. How does our stuff work that it can be stolen? Our like ranger stuff.
So what I'm thinking of is sort of like a Transformer gimmick, right? Like, you know, the belts where they have a gadget on them. I think what it is that this hit our belts or our main source of power super hard and just seized either like the power source from them or some other essential element and went flying off of it.
Okay, I can dig that. And maybe, so we're all standing around. And the this trove, which like transforms into like a little dinghy that just rockets away. It's got our stuff in it, and we hear like sirens or something. Like, oh, they didn't just steal our stuff. We're like, we have to escape from the cops.
Oh yeah, they hit us with like a beacon or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, it's just a big, massive like rocket. Just zooming into the middle of the station probably tips some people off.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I think Ronnie in the front was just the unfortunate soul who charged for it first without doing, you know, the proper checks and anything. So he stumbles back, looks at himself, looks at his hands, and goes, hey, what the heck? I thought we were solid. I thought this was all done. Looking back at the others.
So I'm going to take a moment here really quick to say that there is a currency that we can earn, or that characters can earn, called energy, which is a character's momentum. Mm-hmm. Characters can earn energy based on their traits, represented by emotional and impactful scenes in an episode called Trait Moments. Only one character per episode can use a trait moment, unless a character has also had a trait complication within that episode. I kind of want to say that we might have started out with a trait complication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you're tough, right?
Yeah.
And the tough trait complication is tries to fight something that they shouldn't. You kind of like ran in there ready to go when you shouldn't have.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I definitely did just get super hyped about the treasure, and that was maybe not the best move.
Yeah, so the villain gets energy, and we have the option for two trait moments in this episode.
Okay, cool.
Here, in fact, I'll put in a number here. Oh, you've got it. Energy. Thank you. Oh yeah, as part of this, though, I do need to pass the card over, so I'm going to go ahead and hand it to you, August.
Okay.
Trade offer. I give you a card. I receive nothing.
No, you receive being thrust into danger.
That's true. Yes. Worse than nothing. Smile. I see. So then we march through each of these beats then, I guess, yeah? Until we reach the end? Nice. Yep.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, I guess we can run through. So the nice thing about each of these episodes is they generally have a list of beats that we're running across. So we have here sort of a prompt for what the cold open is, which is what we just ran through. There's about 6 total steps from cold open to conclusion. The conclusion, I think, is just sort of the generic run through, like, hey, you know, what's happening next episode kind of situation, where we kind of go forward from there or wrap up whatever happened during the episode, right?
Mm.
Oh, and you can pick up more traits. That's funny.
Yeah. Which gives you more opportunity to earn energy, I would think.
Yep,
but
definitely.
But you do have to spend energy to do so.
Spend money to make money.
Yep. So I have been given this card. Like I said, you give me this card, I give you the villain thrusts all of us into danger.
So here's what is energy for?
It's for a few different things, if I'm not mistaken. One, I think it dictates the overall result of the season.
Yeah, okay. Like MVP and stuff for individual episodes as well.
Yeah.
I see.
But it also can be used to get like more traits for your character, so you can have more chances to get both hero and villain energy.
Mm.
You also can have it. There is a provision in there for character death, where if a character is defeated for good, they can give their energy to either the person who destroyed them or the rest of their side.
Well, I see.
And also, if someone tries to revive that individual from either side, hero or villain, you lose 2 energy. So it's a little bit of currency, and it's a little bit of
score,
you know, award stuff.
Hmm. Okay. Sweet. Okay, so we are back into it. Do you want to reset that scene?
Yeah. So Ronnie, ever the self-interested sort looking out for treasure and success and victory in all ways, rushed forward to obtain treasure from a chest full of goods that we just got off of one of our runs. And it turns out that it was a trap. It took our stuff, including what makes our powers work, and then went whirling off and immediately drew the attention of the local authorities.
Yep.
Who are now rushing our way at the current moment, presumably to take us in or potentially worse.
Yeah. So we, so you're like kind of reeling, confused. We're all looking down at our, at our, like, you know, now back from our transformed forms into our, like, civilian clothes. I think Johnny says, I don't think we have time to think about it. We gotta go.
Okay, but where and with what?
Well, I presume that we still have our skating stuff. We just don't have our, like, super-powered ranger stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
So, rather than, like, they probably have, like, more powerful, like, forms when we're transformed, but, you know, it's like, we just have to use our fucking skating skills to escape from the authorities.
I feel like there's definitely some, like, roller derby type shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Calico.
Does Calico also have roller skates?
I think Calico, because you'd said, if I recall correctly, you'd said Johnny had, like, rollerblades.
Yeah, they're like rocket boots that act as like rollerblades, in the same way that Cherry Bomb has a solar skiff that's like a longboard.
Yeah, so I was thinking, Calico had regular roller skates, fancy technological roller skates, but not like rollerblades. They're not, the wheels aren't in line.
Like the 2x2.
Yeah.
The
quad skates.
Yeah. So they basically we've got the same kind of thing, but yours are more, mine are faster and yours are more maneuverable.
Yeah. So I'm imagining there's some roller derby shit going on with, trying to, you know, because we're thrust into danger in this scene, so the authorities probably catch up with us a little bit, and so we have to outmaneuver them, and, you know, oh god, do they have, like, futuristic segways? Is that how they get around?
I was imagining, like, or like little, like, patrol boats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like the golf carts, like, these could be beach guard, like beach cops.
Just, oh, they're like a little, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Four treads. ATV. There we go.
Oh, ATV. Okay, sure. Mm. Yeah. Or like dune buggies.
Yeah. And then
love it.
We gotta make our way inland. Into the, like, city part of Wave Break, so that we can, like, you know, their engines are better than ours, but if we can, we're just people on small, like, one man vehicles, they won't be able to follow us if we go into the city center.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie running along with his moped held over his head because he can't skate, and also it's like
at least
super
ride
sandy.
It.
At least ride it. I can't. The tires get caught up.
Incredible. Yeah, I'm imagining like taking corners about like grabbing a light pole and like whoosh, whipping around it. We go through like the Venice Beach like bodybuilder like skate park area where there's some cool surf punk. Music playing as we like get in a couple of tricks to get what's the word?
Big warped tour energy.
Yeah,
you get some momentum off of it.
Yeah. Love the visual of where everything is so segmented, of like beach areas being like bordered by what looks like. The LA River, you know, the big stone things there where everything is filmed. I think it's the LA River, like the big storm drains, but you can like drive down them, like in Terminator 2 and in Greece. But just like, and we like drop down into one of those is part of our escape. Like we get through Venice Beach and the music and the bodybuilders, we drop down into like the concrete riverbed, or I say concrete.
Mm-hmm.
as we're sort of winding our way into a more densely packed area, like residential, where we could either try and lose them or where their vehicles are not going to be able to go.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. like the drains. And then as we're running, like, Ronnie does like a startup and his Vespa hits ground, starts actually rolling on it. He's like, hey, hold on back. He's like waving to the other two or three to like skitch on, gain some speed with a definitely illegal engine.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. grab onto the back wheel well to get dragged along once we get enough speed going.
Do we have, like, an underground situation? Like, where's our base exactly in relation to all this?
So I'd imagined that it was, like, a ship that was out there. But it could be that we've got, like, a crashed ship in the sewers that, like, we can, like, move around the sewers but can't sustain itself in space flight.
Love that. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay. So, like, picture it, like, everyone riding around on back, we're all whipping around, like, just the craziest stuff you could find located in a series of drains. Like, I don't know what kind of, like, space trash Wavebreak produces, mm-hmm. but there's definitely some of that under here that we're just whipping around, like, massive containers, like, weird fish, other sorts of things. Water sections where you kind of got to go above and on like the top of the drain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like full 360 degrees, like circle all the way around the pipe situation.
Hell yeah.
Cool. So I think we've been endangered. I'm going to pass this card to the left on roll 20. So that means that Jade, you get the next beat.
All right. So the next beat is relying on unpowered skills, which I think we were already seeing in action.
Mm-hmm.
But
now that we've like gotten out of the danger, we have to use them to get our stuff back.
So this is us in our HQ, mm-hmm. but because the power source for our gear has gone, we can't like boot up the ship AI, or that it doesn't like wake up when we enter like it normally would.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, like we need it to get into the ship, and now that it's not there, we're totally locked out.
Well, it's like we can get into it physically, but we can't access any of the systems. Big light, literally lights are on, but no one's there, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it's got, like, a cloak that automatically decloaks as we approach, but now we have to, like, feel around for the door.
That's kind of fun.
Nice.
But maybe it's, like, between us we have to, like, suss out where it is, make our way inside, and then we can't get any of the computers working. So this is, like, pulling out, like, boxes and just, like, pulling out maps of the cylinder proper and doing this the old school way, because a couple of us were criminals to begin with.
Yeah,
sort of. I think maybe it's that it's like we're pulling out stuff, we've got like glow sticks out as we can't get the proper lights on, and we're stood around like this central console.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think maybe it's like looking at Calico.
Yeah,
as like, so what's the play here? I know we don't like to talk too much about it, and, you know, your business is your business, and I respect you. And the fact that you carry a very sharp knife that can do weird things in with time. But you used to work for these people, so if anyone here is going to have an idea of how we get our stuff back, it's you.
So I think Calico, like, I think that Calico has just like a regular knife that turns into the time knife when she morphs. But, you know, like right now it's just a regular knife and she's just kind of tossing it. And she's like, best I can guess, there's a facility. It's pretty heavily guarded, but it's where they keep heavy munitions, and I'd bet my time knife that that's where they're going to keep our stuff. Because what's heavier munitions than what we've got?
Well, we're going to want to get that stuff back quick, because they're not going to be able to use it for now. But they'll figure it out eventually.
Yeah, guys like them, it's only a matter of time. But how exactly do we bust into that kind of place anyhow?
I look at Johnny, theater kid that he is, just like, disguises.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that could work. Everywhere gets cleaned by somebody.
So we just got to figure out what facility, get inside, get our stuff back. Boom.
Well, it's going to be tough without our computers, but the morphers, they give off a very specific energy signature.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Rascal knows when we're arriving. So I can, if we can bootstrap some kind of scanner, we should be able to pinpoint which facility they're holding our stuff in.
All right.
Hey, Calico.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been out of this longer than you have. You're fresh over. But you remember how we used to find the heroes originally, right? Anytime something would kick off, we'd get something keyed to them, then we have to go and fight them. I think that's how it worked.
Yeah, I remember. Maybe we could nick one of those scanners to help us locate where our stuff is.
Then we just sneak in, bim bam boom, all our stuff.
And Calico, like, sheaths her knife and like, she's wearing boots now too and has like a boot sheath and says, sounds like a plan.
Clap. All right. Guess that means we're going to have to go stir up some attention again.
Back to the beach.
Yep. See if we can't take one of them solo.
All right.
Well, there's still, you know, this was a pirate ship. There's still plenty of weapons. Ooh.
Yeah, who needs weapons?
Do we feel like Johnny rallied us when we're feeling like all is lost?
Yeah.
I can rally us if we think all is lost. It didn't feel like anyone was too despondent.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we were just in the midst of bouncing back.
Okay. Cool. I'm just trying to keep an eye out for trait moments.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean we could fiddle with the scene a bit to make it more like you need me to get there.
It's up to y'all. I think it's more fun if these things happen organically, which is why I was like asking y'all where we felt like it was.
Yeah, so let's just play to it as it comes, I think.
Yeah.
Something.
Do we think that's seen?
I think so.
Yeah.
How about y'all?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
So we're going to go... So we're going back to, like, the beach, mm-hmm, to goad one of the... like lieutenants, like a monster basically, into, mm-hmm, fighting us.
So we can get one of their scanners, yeah.
Bingo, yeah. Steal their stuff, find our way back.
Okay.
What does everyone take? Because I know Ronnie just, you know, he tightens up his gloves, but I don't think everyone else is going to go that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think probably I just get like we have like normal swords and guns here.
Nice. Some of old, Rascal's armory. Just tucked away in a corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like way old.
Yeah, like classic like stuff.
It's from like two seasons ago.
Yeah, this is actually a spin-off from another show, and this is going to be like a right Easter egg for the fans of the OG. Just like, oh, shit, do you remember when so-and-so used that?
Oh, yeah. I love that. That's awesome.
That's what I was thinking. Like, it's even like the first prop or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's like, okay, well, then we're going to need to use actual costumes. And so we like have like... Like, we put on the helmets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, physically, instead of, like, just, like, you know, mm-hmm. you know, henshin, and it, like, vsh, like, hard light glowing onto us. Mm-hmm. They have, like, physical stuff.
I love that we look much more like pirates than we normally do.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I am in a big sailor suit.
Oh, you are one of the One Piece Marines.
Yeah.
The helmet that I put on, like, has, like, an eye patch, like, in the visor.
Tight.
Nice.
Real quick, so if we decide to reference or reuse something from another episode or piece of media, we can give somebody one energy. And I think making that intentional reference for the fans, like, that Easter egg, I think that counts. So who wants an energy?
Well, that was Jade's idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, yeah. So we get, you know, we have like this little shot where we're all like dressed up in like, so it's like, you know, normally in a Sentai show, like when the American cast transforms, mm-hmm. it's then the Japanese cast in costume. But now it's obviously the American cast just wearing the costumes over their normal costumes, which is always very fun. And that means we get to show off our stunt skills as actors.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
God, approaching this with like very big pro wrestling energy all of a sudden.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I don't have a big cannon to swing around and shoot anymore, so now I gotta go make a haymaker.
Yeah.
Just fucking suplex a dude.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like just four weirdos march onto the beach in these like historic costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd probably see this in, like, a museum of, like, oh, the Scourge of the Hegemony. And mm-hmm. now four members of that crew stand again.
Oh, and Cherry has, like, their portable music player, and it's playing the music from that episode of...
Bump,
the boat. Yeah, bump, exactly. It's Rascal's bump. Theme. We're playing it on like a boombox as we come onto the beach.
Like there's a match cut of like over on the other side near the shore. You see like a group of mooks and one like kind of leaderish type noticing like. And pointing like, hey, hang on a second.
That can't be them. They're on the other side of the galaxy. Nobody's seen Rascal in this quadrant.
Uh-huh. And I pull up like a megaphone. And, oh boy, I wish I remembered more specifically what Rascal said in that episode. But I think he says, you know... It's the same stuff that I say every time, but now it's like, you know, I have to like, I don't have speakers just ready. And it's like,
to all who would stand blocking our path to that wide open horizon, avast, our flag is the flag that flies for freedom. Step aside or be stepped on.
If only we had our suits.
And we all look silly, a little silly, so they're just like, pa! And then we go after, get after it.
Yeah.
Yeah!
Hell yeah.